Brother Mark, let's just, I'll take the right water. We'll do like Abraham and Lot. I'll take the right, you go the other way. I didn't mean that bad, no. I'd like to start in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. As my thoughts seemed always scrambled, but this morning, this is where I trust the Lord has settled me. And that's in the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. After the Lord Jesus had sent out these 70 elders, verse 17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, I have not had that experience. However, I've had some experiences that you just marvel at. I don't understand them, how the Lord's so good to me. And I can relate to these who have come back with joy, saying, "Man, we just did this and that." He said that. "I give unto you power to do all this." But then in verse 20 says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but what rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." What a message that is. We as a people, the Primitive Baptist, wherever we meet, we are a blessed people. And miracles happen among us when men, sinful men, stand before us and preach the gospel. But here the Lord Jesus Christ saying, here's where I want you to be grounded in. And that's in the fact that your name is written in heaven. You know what that is? That is fundamental doctrine. That is the doctrine of election right there. I'm at a place I've never been, so I can tell a story. This week I asked my wife, I said, "Where did I use that story again?" She goes, "It was at Stratton. You've used it blah, 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 how many times?" I was like, "No, I wasn't at Stratton. It was somewhere else." "No, it was at Stratton." And of course, y'all have all heard this, but it's my granddaddy. Whenever I first, I went to him and said, "Granddaddy will be 100 years old on the 30th in 11 days. He got his mind. I can still go to him and get advice. The first time I sat in his living room with him and grandmother, saying, "Brother Sonny talked to me, and I'm going to be taking part in services." He says, "Preach doctrine." And grandmother says, "And when you're done, sit down." And granddaddy, I've gone to see him recently even. He says, "Are you still preaching doctrine?" I said, "I'm trying to, granddaddy." He goes, "Good, because that's what feeds the sheep. I tell you, is that not food for your soul? Oh, whenever you can just look past this low ground of sin and sorrow and say, my name is written in heaven. Oh, although I don't feel it at some times in my life, I don't feel worthy of it. Oh, but the Lord has convinced me by his spirit. Maybe it's in the dark of the midnight when a still small voice will come to me and says, thou art mine. Or maybe it's in a meeting whenever the Lord blesses a man to preach the gospel with power and demonstration, and the gospel message comes and says, thou art mine. Oh, what a sweet message that is. Oh, as we can see a picture of the new birth. Whenever in Ezekiel chapter 16, when I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, live. When I passed by, I said unto thee, live. Oh, and then he says, and thou becamest mine. I tell you, we were his before the foundation of the world. Our names are written in heaven. Another granddaddy story. He told me one time, you know, people don't preach enough on the Lamb's Book of Life. And I tell you what, that's free right there. Whenever someone, that's a little secret I've learned. There's no young preachers here, but, you know, whenever you get something like that, go study what they just said. And you got a free subject. When Brother Glenn Blundell says, this is my favorite verse, I'm going to preach on that verse if the Lord will bless. But he says, they don't talk on the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you, I tried to look into it. Oh, but I tell you, it's written from before the foundation of the world. Oh, and that just tells us it's not going to, it's sealed, it says. And I'm not going to go try to find it. Oh, but it says, rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. I don't know if the Book of Life is real or if it was figurative language. I tell you, the message is that your name is in heaven. That God knew you before the foundation of the world. As I tried to quote last night, whom he did foreknow. He knew you before the foundation of the world. Oh, that takes all the work, all of our works out of it. I hadn't even done anything then. And if you want to say, well, he looked down. God looked down to see who would do. No, it says in Psalms, he looked down and saw none good. No, not one. Oh, but I tell you, by his grace, he saved us. The Lord hath loved me with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In 1 Peter, we can go there. And he said, blessed, in verse 3, blessed be. Let's start in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout all Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's something I've noticed about, you know, or as a young child, you thought, well, no one else believes what we believe, so it must be really hidden in the Scripture. You know, you can go to all of Paul's letters, and it doesn't take him long to get to the doctrine right away. Ephesians, you look at that, he tells you who he's writing to. And here the Apostle Peter says, I'm writing to you who are elect. Doctrine, it doesn't take long for him to get there. Now, I'm trying to get to Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us. How long did it take in this letter? I tell you, he doesn't build up to it. No, he starts it off right from the start. He wants to set a foundation that he wants you to know that you're elect. He wants you to know that you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Election and predestination. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, it's not hidden in there if we look. It doesn't take long for him to get there. Oh, but he says, rejoice in not these things, but that your names are written in heaven. May that message you. It's never bad to hear that. We need it when we're on the mountaintops. We need it when we're in the valleys. Amen. I need to know sometimes. I need to know all the time, but there's sometimes it's a special relief to me. Yes, I know who I am. I know, oh, wretched man that I am. But by the grace of God, I believe my name was written in heaven. I believe that the Lord thought on me and you before the world began. When he knew us, he loved us. Oh, and I tell you, if it happened then, you can just follow it. I am the Lord, I changest not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Lord knew us when he went to the cross. You were on his mind then, too. I can't explain it, how he can think of all of us, but I believe he's a personal savior. As uncomfortable as I've gotten in the past, whenever someone will ask, have you accepted the Lord as your personal savior? I tell you, he is a personal savior. He is a personal savior. Thou becamest mine. Rejoice not, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And I want to continue here. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. Amen. Verse 23. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately. I like that right there. I think that's a separation, if you will. We had many there, but then he turned to his disciples privately. I believe that the Lord has a people out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I was trying to remember the order of that. Brother Danny Wisner told me, here's how I remember. Kitchen time, pretty nice. You know, if you know Brother Danny, I said, all right. But I still have to slow down to go. But the point of the matter is he's got a people this world over. The remote jungles of the Amazon who haven't heard the gospel preached, who perhaps have never heard the name of Jesus Christ uttered, he has a people there. I'm glad that burden, and it's a burden. You want to talk about a burden? It's a horrible thing when you put a burden on a man that he can't do. And to save people to heaven, we can't do. Oh, but the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed. First, he says, for as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome. I think of that a lot when I'm at a meeting. One moment I'm thinking that, and the next moment I'm like, anyone but me. Oh, but what a beautiful thing it is when the Lord blesses. Someone who's bound up, like Lazarus. You can look at that and you can see everything. Who can do what? Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. John chapter 11, and Lazarus came forth, bound hand and foot in grave clothes. And he turns to his disciples. And he said, loose them and let them go. I tell you, there are people in this community all over. It's been a great blessing at home and at Bethel. I've enjoyed. We've had something that's fairly rare to me. And that's converts. People from the community come in and join us. And I love what a blessing that is.
And you can find that in 1 John. How do you get that to happen? They ask the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says, where dwellest thou? He says, come and see. That's what we need to tell the folks. Come and see. Oh, and by the grace of God, when they come and see, if they're bound up, may they be loosed and let go. If they're like Jairus' daughter, who the Lord once again spoke, saying, made Tabitha, well, made arise. Then he turned once again and says, give her to eat. I tell you, we cannot give life. Oh, but we, by the grace of God, can loose and let go. We can give to eat because that's the commandment the Lord gave Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Oh, and I tell you, when the Lord feeds them, what's food do to us? It gives us nourishment. Some of us get a little too much. Oh, but I tell you, in this life, we need nourishment to get through it. We need that spiritual food. Oh, I can't imagine. I see what I go through in life, and I'm like, how do people get through things without the church? I don't think I could do it. How do they? What do they? I tell you what a blessing it is. He was speaking. He told them all. He told the 70 this. Then he turned privately to his disciples. And he said, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. I want you to think right now. We're in Fort Worth, right? I think. Or Arlington, somewhere. We're up here in the Metroplex. Anyway, there's millions of people here around us within a few miles. But here, assembled, I'm not going to estimate how many's here, but in comparison to the population around us, it doesn't compare. But I tell you, blessed are the eyes which see the things which you see. Because the Lord, by his grace and mercy, has blessed you to hear and to see that your name is written in heaven. Those around us, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know. I said the Lord has a people everywhere, and I believe the Lord's got a lot of people around us, and I believe the Lord's got a lot of people who don't go to church. I don't think it's right. I'm not saying that. I'm not excusing it, but it happens. You know, I've known people a guy and grew up around in McMahon. He's granddaddy's age. And here's a funny, a pretty neat story. When they were in high school together in Lockhart, played basketball, him and granddaddy ended up rooming together their senior year in Lockhart because, you know, they weren't going to take their kid into town all the time for practice because they didn't have as good vehicles as we do. Because we sure do take them into town all the time. Now they're in the nursing home, and they got room just, I say by chance, but they ended up roommates. Of course, Morris is back home. They roomed together in high school, and then they're in the nursing home in Lockhart, and they roomed together again. This man, I've never seen him go to church anywhere, but I tell you, he's a good man. I can see the Spirit of God in his life. There's good people out there. There's children of God out there who aren't doing as they should, not assembling themselves together, and they aren't getting loosed. They might be bound up. They need nourishment. But you, oh, the Lord has been so good to me. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. Then he says, for I tell you And many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. You can look through the history of the world, and I can get down pretty quick. At home, I try to tell the members there, I said, don't watch the news all day. It's going to get you depressed. Because here's my personal opinion, free of charge. If you got 24-hour news, they're going to have to make some of it up. But it's not good news. But just the little news I get, I can really get depressed on the situation of this world and just how sinful it is. But you know, in the eras of time, we live in the greatest time, spiritually speaking, that we could. Oh, you often get that question or think, you know, how great would it have been, you know, to walk with Jesus? That would have been great. But I tell you, we know more now than those that even were walking with him. Many great men, many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things and have not heard them. I tell you, I know your pastor well enough. Well, there's a lot of people here who aren't from here. But I believe you're hearing the good news, the truth. Oh, and how merciful is God that he pours out his truth to us. First of all, our names are written in heaven. But you know, I could go through life without ever knowing that. And it would be more of a struggle than it is. I would be miserable many times with that warfare going in within me. Oh, but I tell you, blessed are the eyes which have seen what you see, and the ears which hear what you hear. I tell you, you have seen by an eye of faith your Savior delivered up for you, and you delivered from death to heaven. You have heard the sweet salvation story that the Lord Jesus Christ saved you even when we were yet enemies. He loved us. We are a blessed people. And I'll finish up in 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul. Talking about how who Jesus was seen by, that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You know, I love the experience of a congregation, and I'll explain what I'm saying. I love to see the people from different walks of life, different stages of life come together. As it's in Zechariah, it talks, you know, how we often talk about the children playing in the streets of Jerusalem. Well, before that, it says, there shall be old men and women leaning on their staff for very age. I tell you, that's just as important as the children playing in the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, I treasure those leaning on their staff for very age. It's those that we can go to that have been through it, that can tell us this is what happened and this is how the Lord delivered us. And there in Zechariah, after all that, it says, if it be marvelous in our eyes, is it not marvelous in our Lord's eyes? I tell you, it's marvelous when we see these things, and it's pleasing and marvelous to the Lord to see the church in its entirety functioning as it should. And I love to see all that and the experiences of grace everyone has. And that's one of the things I like to ask someone who, when I meet them, what is your experience? Brother Mark and I were over at Rich Mountain, and there was two elders there that have come that were preaching for other, well, they weren't preaching, but they were of different orders. They came to know the truth by looking for it, praying about it. The Lord showed it to him, and now they're preaching for it. And you know, if you know me, how much I treasure Brother Bill Walden's experience. He's the same way, where he was preaching for another order, and he said, this isn't right. And finally he found, and someone says, you got to go find some hard shells. And he says, what's a hard shell? There's many different experiences like that. And I get to almost idolizing those experiences. Like, who am I? I'm Primitive Baptist because my parents brought me there and this and that. But I tell you, no, this all boils down to this verse right here. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I know the truth. My eyes have seen the things that they have seen because the grace of God. Why are we going to heaven someday? Because the grace of God. Oh, but I tell you, his grace doesn't just apply to eternal things. It applies to everyday things because we don't deserve to hear the message, the sweet message of the gospel. We don't deserve to hear the salvation of our souls. But I tell you, the Lord through his grace sends men to preach the gospel in power and demonstration of the Spirit, where we can walk away and say, it is good to be here today. When the evening sun is setting, I can say, I have walked with God today. Goodness. Oh, my wife tells me, you got to quit trying to quote songs. You always mess it up. I tell you, but like those two on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us at the things which he said? We're all in different walks of life, different stages of life. But I want you to remember, one, your names are written in heaven. There's no eraser in heaven. You can't scratch it out in heaven. And I want you to reflect on how blessed you are to know what you know. Oh, when we know these things, there's an old saying, and I've never heard it said, but I like to act like I'm riled up. I've never heard it said, and I hope I never do, but I imagine some of y'all have heard it. Rocked to sleep in the cradle of grace, you know. We're do-nothing Baptists. We don't believe you have to do anything. You just preach grace, grace, grace till you don't want to do anything. I tell you, when grace is preached and you believe it and see it for what it is, oh, I tell you, it's but our reasonable service to assemble ourselves together. All my days, I want to serve him. He has been so good to me. Every day shall be to praise him. Long as life, breath remains in me. Oh, when I see the goodness of the Lord and how good he is to us. And I know I stumble much. But it's those times that I want to serve the Lord with all my heart, my soul, and mind. Come ahead, brother.